we're typically growing 25-35% a year. We have a real shot at doing $5 million in sales this year. They'd sort of take it to the post office and push it off a cliff. They didn't know what was happening in between.
Why mail? You know, isn't everything digital these days?
U.S. Postal Mail. It's still a very effective marketing channel. ROI doesn't do you any good if there's no I. You need to make an investment.
I want to start out by welcoming everybody to Direct Edge, where we explore the strategic thinking behind sustainable business growth. I'm your host, Wilson Zare, founder of Zare Mail. And as you can tell, today I'm spending time with Dave Lewis, CEO, entrepreneur, who's decades of experience in the mailing industry. Dave's an expert at seeing opportunities, building back even better, a superpower for sure. We're going to dive into his approach to market development, discover the strategic advantages that have driven his success. Does that sound right, Dave?
Yes, it sounds close enough to me. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's get started with, you know, without any more ado. So tell us your story. Where have you been? What are you doing? What are you most excited about?
I've been a lot of places. Right now I am former ex-president right now, I guess you'd say, of Snailworks. And Snailworks is a mail tracking company, which is a niche I never knew existed, but I've been doing it for about 25 years now. And so, in fact, it's a little background. We started this business called Track My Mail, which was one of the first mail tracking businesses there were. And we got a lot of attention just because of our catchy name. And we provided mail tracking services. The Postal Service would give us data, and it was really hard to work with. So we'd interpret it for our fellow mail house owners. My background was mailing then at a mail house. And it did very well. It grew to the point where we sold that to Pitney Bowes in 2007, about 10 minutes before the economy collapsed. And and then I went back. I worked for a living for a few years doing marketing for people, doing that kind of work. And finally, in 2012, we started up another business called Snailworks, and which is where I am today. And we've done very well with that too. I'm amazed that it's been 13 years, but it has been. And this past year in July, we sold Snailworks to a company, Beacon Software, a Canadian company. And that's what their philosophy, we're hoping it holds true, is to buy and hold companies and let them continue to sort of operate as they did. So right now I'm moving into an advisor role, but I still pretty much run the place for now, and a role I enjoy. So I built two businesses and sold them, and so now I can retire comfortably one day.
But that's incredible too. I mean, it's funny how big a role timing plays, you know, in putting those together, and it's incredibly fortunate too, because you know, as we know, big picture, you know, the vast majority of startup businesses fail. To have two be successful and be able to reach an exit is quite an accomplishment. But just for our audience, just to be clear, we're talking about U.S. Postal Mail letters.
U.S. Postal Mail. Yeah, we don't. We call it real mail. It's it's still a very effective marketing channel. So, you know, I think people feel gloomy about the that postal mail is dying or something, and certain elements are. I'll be honest. I pay my bills online. I don't use the mail for that. But as far as marketing, it's still a great marketing channel. It's a great fundraising channel. We help people with that a lot. And so it's reasonably robust if you find the right place to be. You know, since we started in 2012, we have grown every year. We're still continuing to grow. So we're typically growing, 25-35% a year. We have a real shot at doing $5 million in sales this year. So it's bigger than people think.
Right. Well, the U.S. mail industry is, I don't know, $80 billion or something. I mean, it's huge. And the only reason I bring that out, I think most of our audience may already know that we're talking about postal mail. But when we first started Zare Mail, we put up our site. We ended up going back and putting like postal icons, pictures of stamps and stuff, because everybody thought it was email. But, you know, but postal mail turns out that is, from a marketing perspective, it's a tool that does many things that other tools can't do. And in this case, we're talking about actual tracking the mail, because we put a, you know, we put a letter in the mail, and then, you know, maybe somebody calls, maybe they don't. But unless we track it, we have no idea what's going on. And so that's the value you provide for your, well, that and a lot more, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, and we're, you know, we're tracking commercial mail. It's not, you know, we do have a little product for people to track individual pieces, you know, that we're working on. But generally speaking, we're tracking people who do large mailings. And before mail tracking, you know, they'd sort of take it to the post office and push it off a cliff. And wait for a noise. There was that they didn't know what was happening in between. So they'd be hopeful that it all got delivered and all of that. So I think that's really where, you know, where the demand for this product grew. And it's because sometimes people are glad it didn't get delivered, because that's why they don't have any response yet.
Right. Well, and if I think about, you know, we do a lot of mailing for clients. We use your product. We use a lot of, you know, other tools to try to figure out what's going on. Imagine somebody with a call center. They've got a whole bunch of agents. They're using the mail to do lead generation. They need to make the phones ring. So they're doing waves of mail. But once you give it to the postal service, it's kind of goes dark, right? And if you need to make sure those phones are ringing and people are productive and you're driving a sales funnel, then it turns out that having visibility into what's happening in the, you know, postal stream as a pretty important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, no, that's a very important point, because, you know, yes, we track mail. That's we're in the mailing industry, but most of our customers are using that to drive other marketing channels as well. So we can tell them, okay, your mail got delivered in Des Moines today. And perhaps they'll send emails to those people. Maybe they'll have salespeople call up. It depends on the kind of business it is, of course. And as you said, just with people with call centers, if you have a million pieces of mail, you kind of need to know when they're going to hit. So your call center, either the mail hits and there's no one in your call center, and then you're losing donations because they're just getting ringing phones, or you have 100 people in your call center and no one's calling. So things like, yeah, timing like that, driving other channels, is really, you know, we're as involved in other channels in some respects as we are in the mail.
No, it makes complete sense. I mean, we talk a lot of times. You know, I've done a bunch of podcasts over the last year or so, and the question comes up that people say, well, why mail? You know, isn't everything digital these days? And I say, you know, there's two elements to that question. One element is they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, they can work together, and often they do. But secondly, they're just tools, right? And it's like, you know, think of yourself as a mechanic. You're in a shop with a bunch of tools hanging on the wall. You need to pick the right tool for the right job. And there's some things that mail does that it's very good at that no other tool can do. And Burton, you know, just to take a second on that, because I really want to focus on you and your story. But when we talk about mail, we talk about the idea that, one, it's it reaches every household and business in America 6 days a week. A lot of mediums don't do that. Number two, it's proactive. It's not like Google AdWords where I have to wait for people to come find me. I can reach out and touch them. Thirdly, the demographics are very well developed. I can target, you know, you mentioned Des Moines. I can target Dennis in Des Moines, Iowa, that have purchased a car in the last 6 months. I can do that with mail. It's hard to do that online. And then finally, it's just built into the American psyche. I mean, people are used to receiving mail, and in a lot of cases, they look forward to receiving it. Imagine, compare that with, or contrast that with, you know, the last time you got a phone call during dinner from a, you know, political pollster, you know, how did that go? Yeah.
Oh, good. let me chat with you. You know, when I'll show my age here a little. Well, my age is obvious anyway, but it's you know, I was one of the pioneers, if you will, of AOL back when it was dial up and you got the funny noises and all that. But It used to be so you weren't hooked up all the time like you are with the internet today. You had to dial into a session for which you paid for by the minute, if I remember right. But every now and then, when I'd log in, a really nice voice would say, "You've got mail." And it was exciting. Someone had sent me an email. I was excited to get that. These days, I'm less excited to get an email because I get probably thousands a day. I don't even know how many I get because there's so many software programs diverting them before they get to me. But it just doesn't have the impact. On a good day, I'll get six pieces of mail in my mailbox, in my postal mailbox. And, you know, that they all get my attention. Doesn't mean I buy everything, but I'll look at every single piece.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I mean, if for me here, we have our own email server because, you know, for our business, but I probably get 400 or 500 emails a day. So when I'm going through those in the morning, I'm not looking to read stuff. I'm looking to delete stuff, yeah. You know, as I pass through that. But the other thing that comes up is that online, although, I mean, we all do business online and offline these days, you know, there's convergence. But when I'm striking up a conversation with somebody, you know, for example, with a digital ad, usually there's six other companies that are also talking to that prospect. But if I put something into their mailbox and somebody's responding to it, that's a one-to-one conversation. I own that channel for that moment in time. And that is pretty good powerful.
No, it is. It's, you know, and there are other things, just the physicality of it, just, you know, the texture and the impression. You know, the Postal Service, really, one of their, they try to offer commercial mailers things they can do to try to make mail more effective. And they, one of the things is tactile mail. So if you can do something to your mail that gives it a tactile impression, whether it's ridges on the, you'll see a lot of, you probably, if you get at mail, look at your mail, you're seeing a lot of ridges on envelopes these days, because that's how they get a postage discount, because they've turned it into it's a tactile feature. And different, you know, it gets as elaborate as putting a little bit of, you know, it's almost like a furry texture on it and things like that. So that's, you know, but they're trying to make that impression that makes it stand out.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean that was always the trick, wasn't it? I mean, if you think about the primary things we see come through it's fourfold, I guess. We see postcards, letters, self-mailers, and snap packs. Snap packs being those things like rebates come in. You tear off the edges and you open.
Might be a check.
Yeah, exactly. But with a postcard, you get like a little billboard in the mail, you know, so you get an instant impression. But with the letter, the trick has always been, for as long as I've been in the industry, is how do you get an open? And so the Postal Service is wrestling with that idea. Maybe if I can make it fuzzy, or if I can make it lumpy, somehow make it feel like there's something in there, you know?
Yeah, no, lumpy. That's the technical name for that, is lumpy mail, that, you know, that people try to, you know, put something in that gives it a little bit of, so generate some curiosity. Yeah, you know, they call the teasers that they print on envelopes, you know, that's an art form to try to think of ways to, you know, to entice people. Sometimes it's just a blank envelope. Sometimes that works. You know, most people are kind of savvy. They sort of can look and say, okay, well, that's like pre-sorted standard, I think it says on them. So they can kind of filter that out and identify that. But, you know, it's funny, you talk about postcards, and one program the Postal Service has right now that is called Informed Delivery. They like informed, right, for their word to call their product. But it is the Postal Service, when your mail is going through the machines, it's taking pictures of every piece. It's just how the machines are designed to, they lift an image from each piece. And they came up with, I guess, like 2017 or something. They said, hey, we could share these images with the public and let them know what's going to be in their mailbox today. And they did that, and they do it today, and it's become today. I was just looking, 70 million people subscribe to that, and they get an email every day that shows them what's going to be in their mailbox, and the open rate for that email is 60%. So, I mean, most people are interested in it. That's a dream number for most email marketers.
No, exactly. I mean, it's a great program. And, you know, we actually offer a feature like that to our clients as well, where we'll take that image of that mail piece, we can actually put an ad just above it in that email that goes out from the Postal Service. And if somebody clicks on that ad, it'll go directly to their site. So the program is super affordable. I mean, it's
Affordable. They give you a discount. It costs less than nothing to do it.
Well, now talk about our mailers too. I mean, for as a service, and you double your impressions because you get the electronic impression, you get the paper impression, and then if somebody wants to click on the image, you potentially get a lead generation assist there. I mean, it's a great program.
It is, and it's, you know, by its nature, it is timed precisely with your mail. So those messages, reach at the same time. And, you know, synchronizing things with the online products with the mail has always been a challenge. And, you know, that's part of why we track mail, but also informed delivery. And we support our customers in creating these little campaigns. They're easy to do. They put a couple images and a web link is about all it takes. And the magic of dealing with the postal service to put it together. But that's, you know, they're okay. And it's been, like I said, I love the program. I don't know, you know, it's, I'm not sure why. I think when it started, it was kind of experimental. So there were like 2 or 3 million subscribers. And so there wasn't, I think that gave it a bad reputation that it was just a little market. But now 1 in 3 houses that you mail to are going to see your mail piece before they see your mail piece. So you want to think about that and how you design things too.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, we offer, I think it's just a lot of people just don't know about the program, but it's, you know, I think it's, yeah, it's super inexpensive and we encourage people to use it. And even at the very least, you're going to get a double up on the impressions, you know.
They used to give a big discount. They were giving like a 4% off your postage, and they've made it a little more complicated now, so it's not as easy to participate for the commercial mailers. Still, well worth it.
No, I agree. So tell us about your business. I mean, how do you go about marketing your business, finding new customers, you know, keeping your funnel full, and you know, really helping customers, you know, along their journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, because, you know, we do a lot of marketing, and sometimes you just throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. But we've sort of refined that. You know, we use direct mail. We do have, we have really defined our audience. We're mostly going to people who create a lot of mail. And so over the years, we've built up a list of pretty much everybody in the country who manufactures mail. And then we reach out to them on a regular basis. We've always had this, we deliberately, when we started, we said, we're going to be an educational, thought leader kind of organization where we'll teach people about the mail. We'll teach people how this works. Every Wednesday, and I've done like 600 of them now, I write a little mini newsletter that I send out to a list of about, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 people that we have found now. And that's been incredibly effective. I just pick some random little mailing related topic. And I try to make it a little bit funny, at least as funny as you can make mail. And you know, so that's very effective for us. It's really just that, to me, that's, you know, email, I'm competing against email in a sense, but it's a good way of marketing to people, you know, and that's, you know, so we've built this reputation. When I run into people at conferences, they go, "Oh, you're the guy that does the emails." So mm-hmm. I get it every day. I say, that's not every day. It just feels like, and so that's one channel we use. How else? You know, we attend a lot of conferences. We put our face out there a lot. We find webinars are a fantastic way to market. And again, but it's all educational. You can't just have a webinar about how great your company is. It's about, you know, the promotions we're talking about. We do webinars on that. So we kind of have this educational tilt to it. So it's, you know, those are some of the methods we use in terms of marketing and trying to keep the funnel full. Another thing that we do, which I should remember this more quickly, is because we track so much mail, and we track a lot. Last year, we tracked 5 billion pieces. And so we take all that mail and we anonymize it and dump it into a big bucket and measure how long it takes mail across the country to get delivered. And then every Monday morning on LinkedIn on the SnailWorks page, I post the U.S. Mail Traffic Report. It just shows how mail is performing, how long it's taken to get delivered. And that is read by, I know personally, I've met all the commissioners at the Postal Regulatory Commission who read that. You know, a lot of executives in the Postal Service read that because it's the most objective source out there for how long mail takes.
Now, that's great. I mean, it's another great data point for, you know, performance in the industry. We know we track our stats. But of course, we're focused in a couple of different verticals, so we don't have the same kind of breadth of view you do. But I think, you know, one of the things that I would say, and it came up recently, people are asking me about, all right, so I'm going to have to try and speak in complete sentences for our audience. So I apologize for that. You talk about your name, Snailworks. And historically, people talked about snail mail. I mean, when I was, a young adult growing up, people would talk about, they would make fun of the postal service. You know, it took weeks for things to get delivered and they'd end up all mangled. And so there's this kind of joke that took place. I worry that somebody's going to get offended. Just an aside, one year we did a mug. I still have one and I'll send you one after this podcast. It was a mug that we did that said, Sarah Mail said, taking the snail out of mail. and I had a bunch of people on my mailing list that were from the U.S. Postal Service. And one of them was a VP of marketing at the time at the Postal Service. I sent him this for Christmas with a thing of hot chocolate and a candy cane in it and stuff. And he was really, offended. What do you mean taking a snail out of mail? That's not fair. But in all fairness to our friends at the U.S. Postal Service, the U.S. Postal Service delivers 40% of the world's mail, huge volumes. I mean, not just millions of pieces, hundreds of millions of pieces of mail. It's a logistical, how do I even put it? A miracle of logistics that things get mailed, you know, and they get mailed on time and delivered on time. And the U.S. Postal Service these days across our network, we're seeing first-class mail 3 days anywhere in the U.S., anywhere in the continental U.S., which is an incredible achievement. But what are you seeing? I mean, what have you seen that evolve? And
yeah, no, we do take that service for granted sometimes because it is astonishing. We're looking at it at sort of a micro level. So, you know, they're 0.2 days longer, slower than they were a month ago. You know, that's kind of, you know, and again, statistically, if your business is mail, there's some relevance to that. I think our customers are more interested in predictability than they are in getting things fast. As long as they know when it's getting there, they can deal with the rest. And, you know, we had the same challenge with our name. Our name is Snailworks. And, to me, if I'm naming a .com business, I want it to be easy to remember and easy to spell. So Snailworks is. But, you know, our original thought that this came from was we were working with an ad agency and they were for a mail house that I was at. And they said, "Hail the snail." And I said, I like that. We wanted to get T-shirts that said "Hail the Snail," because I said that's a real positive thing about our industry. Snail mail is a term that people use. People know what you're talking about when you say snail mail. I don't think it's insulting these days, but it's because it's different. Email is faster. Emails virtually instant. I can tell exactly when it's going to be delivered. That's when I want it to. Where quote unquote snail mail travels more slowly. So we had some people at first who didn't like our name. But we said snail works. That's it's the works part that matters. Our name is not snail mail. And you know, a quick story is one of my the guys who does sales for me at the Postal Forum, National Postal Forum, which is where we postal nerds gather once a year. The Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, was there, and Louis is kind of a gruff man. He's no longer the Postmaster General, but anyway, he was at this at a reception, and my sales guy had on a bow tie with snails on it. And because, you know, he works for Snailworks, and so the Postmaster General was working the room, and he came up to him and said, "What's with that tie?" You know, he said, oh, it's because I work for Snailworks. And so the snail is our, you know, is kind of our mascot, if you will. So that's our snail. And the postmaster, he said, what do you do? And so he described the business to him and how we were tracking mail. And he said, when it was all done and how we make mail more effective for people, when it was all done, the Postmaster General said, I like your business. I like what you're doing, but I don't like the name. But nonetheless, when we first came out, people were a little bit put out off by it, but I don't think it's ever been a hindrance because we love snail mail. It's all about it.
No, exactly. And our business, I mean, we take advantage of, you know, the physical nature and the convergence with electronic too, because we do fulfillment through a nationwide network of production partners. So we'll look at where the mail's going. We route it electronically. We do our best to produce it locally and speed that process along. And as a happy side effect, it's better for the economy too, or for the environment too, right?
Yeah.
Less trucking and that kind of thing. So, and the mail gets delivered faster. So I mean, we're all working together to make this tool as effective as possible. And the U.S. Postal Service, I mean, given the challenges they have to deal with, especially, you know, being a quasi-governmental agency, they do an amazing job.
No, they really do. They have an impossible job. You know, what they're supposed to do is deliver the mail 6 days a week to every household. You know, they send trucks to and boats to Alaska. You know, to every household they deliver, they have to keep every post office open. And there's a lot that don't make money that the Postal Service would love to close. But Congress, you know, as soon as they try to close one, you know, it plays more than a place for mail. It's like social centers in a lot of rural areas that they don't want to lose that. There's restrictions on how much they can charge. And, you know, so that, but they're very restricted on that. So they lose money and they're supposed to be self-sustaining. And it's almost an impossible mission they have to do that because there's mail volumes do drop as it's replaced by other channels, by email and things like that, particularly on the billing side. But house people keep getting boring. They keep building houses, so they have more delivery points and less mail. So I mean, to try to keep funding that without going wild on the rates, it's an impossible task. So I have a lot of admiration.
I remember one time driving in Montana, you know, near the border, and I stopped in this little town. It was the middle of the afternoon, and a town is almost a generous term for it. It was, you know, one casino, one little restaurant, and I don't even think they had a gas station there, but there was a post office. I think it was called Box Elder or something. And that's it. If that post office was to go away, that town would cease to exist.
That's true. In some of the rural areas, you know, the post office really is sort of a center of commerce, of the community. You know, and it's I get it. But it's just and actually the Postmaster General, the current Postmaster General, David Steiner, was testifying before Congress because they're saying, you know, you're losing money and your service is not as good as we'd like it to be. And they grilled him pretty good. And he said, listen, you know, we can do whatever you want. We can deliver 6 days a week to every household in the United States, but somebody's got to pay for it. And that's, you know, you can't argue with that. He said, we don't have to go, because at one point they talked about getting rid of Saturday delivery and people didn't like that. And so they called their congressman, and because you got to think from a political point of view, what they do touches every congressional district, you know, in the country. So when the post office does something that makes people unhappy, Congress hears about it. And they seem to like getting elected.
Right. Well, just as an aside, I mean, for years I've talked about this, and if it seems like the Postal Service has kind of embraced the idea now too. But the one thing the U.S. Postal Service has that nobody else on the planet has right now is this delivery network. And not just a delivery network, they have a personal relationship with every household and business in America. You know, UPS and FedEx deliver stuff. People know their postman, right? He knows when they're on vacation. He knows when they've got a dog he should avoid, he or she should avoid. I mean, And the fact is, they're already there. They're already there every day, you know. And so to the extent that they can bring more parcels or bring a pizza or the dry cleaning or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see them try to diversify. Yeah, they have some rules again. You know, the Postal Service cannot deliver liquor. UPS and FedEx can. Postal Service may not, because it's. Yeah. I'm going to guess that UPS and FedEx had something to do with that law, that their lobbyists got it done that way. But one thing that I think that was kind of highlighted the importance is when COVID, when they sent out the COVID test kits, and the Postal Service had a means of sending those to every household in the United States, a physical connection. And they're the only ones who have that. And, you know, God forbid a worse pandemic came where, you know, you really had to stay away from people or you would die. The Postal Service could be the ones who could get the vaccines out to go to every house. No other way to do that. And that could be important.
Oh, exactly. No, exactly. Yeah, I remember, on so many stories from COVID, when I'm not working in this industry, I also teach at the university level. I usually teach marketing, entrepreneurship, finance, and business strategy. And I remember teaching during the COVID where a lot of students were remote. And when you're in the classroom, they've got these glass walls and you're wearing a mask and it's hard to tell what people are saying. Looking back, it almost seems surreal now. You know, I can't believe we actually did that and made it through.
It is. I'm glad we did.
me too. So,
yeah, it's a terrible thing to say in my neighborhood, that I lived in, which is in Frederick, a small city in Maryland. And during that, it was so nice to go out and ride my bike. There was no traffic. It was so there's a very selfish perspective on the pandemic.
Oh, no, that's a good point, too, you know, because I don't. I travel for work sometimes locally, but I don't really like airplanes very much. So I try to avoid that kind of travel. I used to have a job way back when where I was went somewhere on the airplane every single week. I mean, all over the planet. And I didn't enjoy that very much. So when I started this business, I decided, well, we'll try to avoid doing that. Which sometimes is very challenging. But during COVID, everybody, you know, Zoom came out. And talk about timing, right? Zoom was launched right as COVID started to appear. And then all of a sudden, all of these conferences and all these resources were available online. So I was able to attend everything without ever getting on an airplane. And that was, that was a plus for me.
No, it's changed my life. Sometimes I miss travel a little bit because I was the same way. I traveled constantly because the Postal Service has, there's these things called postal customer councils. In different cities where the local people who do the mailing and their postal officials get together. And I used to go speak at them about anything to do with the mail. Any mailing topic I can cover pretty much. And so I was traveling I hit the only two states for some reason I didn't hit were North Dakota, and that's sort of understandable, and Vermont. I don't know how I missed Vermont. Never been there. But I hit every other state in the country, which was a great experience. I enjoyed seeing the country. During COVID, though, of course, I started doing all it cost a lot of money to do that. Now I do webinars. And, for these PCCs, when they want me to speak, I'm always asking, is it live? Is it live? And they'll go, no, it's online. But I mean, it's okay because I can do three webinars in a day, as opposed to in cities I wouldn't be able to travel to quite as easily. So I miss the contact on that. But as from a business perspective, it's allowed us to really get our message out there a lot more easily in a format that people are comfortable with.
Yeah, I did a seminar series with the U.S. Postal Service. We launched the original Zeramail with in partnership with the U.S. Postal Service. And we did a seminar series that went to, 100 cities around the U.S. or something, where a small business could pay $99 and learn how to do direct mail. And that was a really interesting process too. Got to talk to a lot of people. But you're right, from a cost standpoint, I'm not sure it was a winner, a lot of airplane tickets, a lot of, a lot of hotel rooms and a lot of small mailers.
good experience, but like I said, it's more efficient these days. But if anyone who is listening to this wants to invite me to Vermont or North Dakota, then by all means, please reach out.
Right. Well, in Vermont, there's got to be some Ben and Jerry's in it for you somewhere. There's like,
yeah, you'd think so. You'd think so. I live in Maryland. I don't know how I've missed Vermont, but it's I'll get there. I will get there.
So tell me about, everybody, I have to ask this, although I worry a little bit, AI, right? AI's everywhere. Everybody's got to have an AI story, it seems like. Everybody I talk to that's in the business of entrepreneurship or funding or whatever, they always ask, what's your AI story? Do you have one of those?
A little bit. Yeah. Again, I'm probably more limited than some, but I use ChatGPT personally, and Stu is his name. And we do have a relationship, but in terms of, you know, looking for strategic decisions on hiring, writing up the ads and things like that for that, it's very effective. And then we are, you know, we're using AI in our marketing and identifying our prospects. And so we use it in that respect. Our system itself, we've not married with AI yet, but I imagine we will, because there's, you know, customers want to draw more and more information out of the data that we have. And it's, you know, when we're doing it manually, it's a task to write a program to do that. And some of them, you know, we have billions of records, and finding how to work through that efficiently can be a challenge. So we're looking at developing AI to make our reporting stronger and more customized to each customer.
Yeah, it seems like if you have billions of records, and billions, was it billions or millions?
Billions.
You know, yeah. Billions, yeah. I mean, it seems like that would lend itself pretty well to large language models and that kind of processing, right? So if you could train AI on that kind of data, then you could draw decisions from it. And the postal network is really interesting, and I don't talk about it much because most people don't think about it. But if you think about how a piece of mail travels through the network, it's not always exactly the way you think. I mean, we have a facility in Oregon that I could deposit a letter in, or we can produce and mail a letter that'll end up in like Baltimore the next day. And he's like, how does that happen? Well, because it turns out that particular mail that goes to that zip code goes on an airplane that has a direct flight that just ends up there. It's just an idiosyncrasy of the postal network that we're able to exploit because, you know, based on experience, we know that exists. But it changes all the time, and the Postal Service doesn't often publish that because other people would exploit those differences too.
Well, but if you that's why we say track your mail every time.
Exactly. But if you think about that, you know, the hundreds of millions of pieces of mail, maybe it's billions, I don't know, but hundreds of millions.
It's about 100 billion pieces of mail a year.
Yeah. And that mail is going, you know, in cars and trucks and motorcycles in places like Alaska, you mentioned earlier, people have it in the plane, you know, people are delivering by plane. If you think about all the different ways that mail can travel and be delivered, the network is incredibly sophisticated, and being able to get stuff where it belongs, you know, in a timely fashion is tricky. But then, you know, once again, if you know how the network works, then you can exploit pieces of that to your advantage.
Absolutely. That's why. And that's really the expertise that we have. So beyond just, I think people use us not just because we can track their mail and give them that great information, but also, you know, I live in that network, you know, not literally. But I mean, I know how mail moves. We have just this tremendous resource, and a lot of the people in our company. And you know, I think mailing experts tend to know the regulations, how you have to prepare your mail, but they don't necessarily know how it travels. That's where organizations like ours come in, I think.
Yeah, you touched on something. This is funny. You don't live in the network. I have my youngest son is 8 years old, and we were talking about the internet. And, you know, we actually have data centers. We have a data center on the West Coast and one on the East Coast. And data center, of course, is a physical building where we've got actual equipment, servers and people. And it's the kind of the backbone of the internet. But people rarely think of that. And so we were talking about the internet. He was talking about being on the internet and ChatGPT and some of these tools. And I said, well, do you want to go in the internet? He's like, what? I said, let's go. We could go in the internet. And so we go to the data center. We go in and we're able to walk inside on the data floor, you know, all the cages and all the equipment, the lights, it's buzzing. I said, this is what it looks like inside the internet. Wow. But there is a physical side to this business as well, you know, that people tend to overlook.
Oh, yeah. That's
So tell us, what does the future hold, Dave? What does the future hold for mail, for marketing, and for Snailworks?
Well, I think for the mail, I think, you know, we've seen advertising mail start to stabilize now. It's not really dropping off because people need that channel. There are unique benefits, as you said, the way you can target it. So I think direct mail as an advertising channel will stay around because it also sort of power, it gives the that big postal network something to carry. You know, they don't have a lot of personal letters anymore, but that gives them something going from house to house. So I feel pretty bullish about that. And I see the industry, you know, innovating, and AI, I think, is going to be I think it's going to be a help more than anything. It's not going to replace that physical network. So I feel pretty good about that. You know, as far as Snailworks goes, we're trying to diversify into something more than just a mail tracking company, although that's not, you know, that's a big just, but, you know, we're starting to do other things to try to enhance people's mail, to make it more powerful, to get better response. Things like informed delivery. You know, we have, we're asking about AI. We have a piece where you can scan a QR code we give somebody, and an AI agent will start talking to you on your phone. And you can ask questions about real estate's the best application we've seen so far. So you can ask this AI agent, Paige, who sounds very pleasant and very, you'd be hard pressed to say it wasn't a person. And you can ask, you know, how many bedrooms does it have? You know, it's how old is it? You can ask questions, and the AI has been fed some basic information on the house. It's easier to do than you'd think. So, you know, things like that, I think they're that combining. But I think the beauty is, as you said at the beginning, mail is proactive, and having a proactive channel that reaches out to people, I think, has a bright future. And I think Snailworks is sort of working that network and understanding it and trying to make it more powerful for our customers. I feel like we're going to do pretty well, too.
No, I'm sure you're right, Dave. I mean, you know, people ask about the mail too, and it asked me over the years a lot about that. And it's true that some kinds of, a lot of people don't understand this idea between commercial mail, you know, standard A or marketing mail, and first class mail. But certainly transactional mail volumes are down. You know, a lot of people, I pay my bills online too, like you do. To its credit, the direct mail industry has always been about ROI, because postage costs money. Unlike email, you have to spend money on postage to use mail as a channel, marketing channel. And so people tend to look at what the returns look like. You know, if I'm getting somebody responding, if I sell something, does that cover the cost of my campaign? And because it's always been ROI driven, people use it because it makes financial sense, and it still makes financial sense, right? And so as long
Absolutely.
As it makes financial sense, people are going to keep using it.
ROI doesn't do you any good if there's no I. Exactly. You need to make an investment. That's why, you know, so is mail expensive compared to email? Absolutely, it is expensive, but it's an investment, and it does have tremendous ROI. So if you're, you know, if someone, there's certain businesses, it's just the ideal way to market it.
Well, it's targeting too. I mean, so that's the other thing is that, I mean, if you have a mechanism like email, you can just kind of, you know, boil the ocean, right? I mean, if your transactional cost is very low, you can send out 100 million pieces and hope one person responds. But with mail, because it does have a cost to it, we tend to target. We say, okay, who's our ideal customer? And what do we have to share with that customer to make them want to respond? So we have to be a lot more deliberate about how we go about marketing and messaging.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I think that is a positive thing about direct mail, because you can't, if you have 10,000 of your best friends, you know, you can send them an email pretty easy. But, you know, if you're going to send out mail to 10,000 people or a million people, you really want to give some thought into what that message is and what the ROI will be. So I think there's a little that intellectual advantage there from sort of being forced to analyze your investment to make sure you're getting a return. And most people who use direct mail, I think it's a very effective channel. You don't see it fail very often as long as it's thought out properly.
All right. Well, the Direct Marketing Association says on average $13 for every dollar invested. Of course, that requires, you know, a very well thought out targeted campaign. But the numbers are there for the people who, you know, want to learn how to use the tool and use it effectively. And we have a role in helping people provide that. I know you do as well. So I think that's a really good thing. In terms of you know, I apologize. I want to be respectful of your time and the audience's time. And as we wind down here, I did want to share that we have a, you talked about your new product. We have a new offering called Speedy, which is a desktop icon. You can actually drop a letter or a, you know, Word doc or a PDF doc on it, and it pops up and it says, where do you want to send this? You put an address, boom, it turns into mail, just like even one piece of mail. So the idea is to make mail relevant for the whole world again, you know, for even one piece of mail. And we do use your product integrated into that offering. So I think that's a great thing for people who don't know about it. If they'd like to discover it, it's at www.zeromail.com/speedy. And then Dave will help you, you know, tell when it gets delivered.
Yeah.
We'll turn it into mail.
And you can reach us at www.snailworks.com. And our website, we actually have a lot of resources on their educational stuff. So if you're in the mailing biz, go look at the resume. You can watch me do webinars. It's you can binge me all weekend if you want. I don't encourage that, but it's you could.
Yeah. So we'll make sure that all Dave's contact information is here. I think he just shared you know, the website and primary contact address, LinkedIn. I know
I'm on LinkedIn. DLewis@snailworks.com.
Are you on LinkedIn as well?
What's that?
Are you on LinkedIn as well?
Yep. You can follow us on LinkedIn. You can follow me or you can follow Snailworks.
Right. So we'll make sure we have all of that contact information. Any last, I think we talked about this before our recorded conversation. Any other, things you'd like to share with our audience, important things that they need to be aware of or opportunities you'd like them to take advantage of?
I think we've touched on most of it. You know, I'm trying to, it's interesting to start a couple of businesses and sell them. And I think, you know, how that worked. I'm actually working on a book right now, Operating Without a Title, but keep your eyes open on LinkedIn. We'll be talking about it soon. It's not going to be about the Postal Service so much as sort of building a business and building a career. So I'm excited about that.
I have to turn it into a podcast too.
Yeah, might.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Can you give us a kind of a sneak peek? What's it about?
It is about really just I've sort of built my career on a couple of things. I've innovated a lot, and it talks about how to innovate and how to think outside the box to do that. And then as far as building businesses, I'm a low risk kind of guy, so I would call myself an intrapreneur. So I worked within companies and sort of with other people's money to some extent. I put in the sweat equity, if you will, to build these. I think it's an interesting way to build businesses and to get to share in success with a little less risk. So if you're chicken like me, you got a shot at it.
Yeah, entrepreneurship is an interesting topic too. And it's a thing. I mean, companies like 3M have just made it a regeneration engine over time, made it work for them. Yeah, it's all great stuff, Dave. Well, thank you. Thank you for making time in your busy schedule to talk to us. We'll have your contact information. Also, we'll include a link to that newsletter. I think everybody should subscribe to that. I mean,
please do.
All useful stuff. Well, thank you. Thank you again for making time to talk with us.
Okay. Thank you, Wilson.